I wonder, did you ever think about what really the point is in you reading the Bible? You read it to glean some knowledge of historical events that happened long ago, or how cultures have changed over the years, or do we read it there, and we should do this, to see the Lord Jesus Christ in it, to study the types and shadows, point it to him, and then to read about his life and to take encouragement from that. But what we have been reading here in verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt," or the word "girt" there is in the active, it's a verb in action, and it means having girded. And there is an illustration regarding having girded in the life of Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. We know that Belshazzar was one who had absolutely no time for the Lord, and he seemed to spend a lot of his time trying to impress those around him with his rebellious living. And he was one who was given to all of those things that were certainly grieving to the Lord. But remember, when we read in Daniel chapter 5 about the Lord writing on the wall, and when that happened, folks, you can read it yourself when you go home, when that happened, one of the biggest changes to ever come over any man so quickly came over Belshazzar. And it came over Belshazzar in front of all his fellow travelers and fellow rebels that he had invited along to his party. The Bible says that his countenance was changed. It also says that his thoughts were troubled in him, so much so that the joints of his loins, his thighs, were loosed, and his knees literally smote once one against the other. You could write across that passage, Belshazzar falls apart. Belshazzar falls apart. Because whenever the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus about the Christian armor, and that's where we are this morning, and he mentioned having your loins girt, or as I mentioned just earlier, having girded, he's referring here to a part of the clothing that was worn, the armor that was worn, called a girdle. And this item called a girdle was to hold together and in place the other garments that were underneath it. It was a very strategic part of the clothing. It really, in effect, was a big belt. And folks, Paul was seeking to drive home to these Ephesians a spiritual message, that God's word is, in a spiritual sense, that which girds us. Or to put it another way, God's word is that which can stop us from falling apart and can keep everything together. Do you remember when Peter was writing? He was writing from experience. Sometimes he made mistakes and he wanted to warn others. He said, "Gird up the loins of your mind." What an awful attack there is today on the minds of believers, and all the things that come our way by way of temptation or by way of doubt or even by way of other things in everyday life that can come our way. How often our mind is attacked? Discouragement is one of them. In the book of Exodus there, the people were told to eat the Passover before they left the land of Egypt, but they were told to eat it with their loins girded, with their loins girt and a staff in their hand. And that means that they were to eat the Passover in a state of readiness. And that readiness is indicated by them having their loins girt or girded. This belt or girdle, as it's called, which is to provide a state of preparedness for us as Christians. It was important for the soldier to have this, but it's very, very important that we notice here that the apostle says to them, "Stand therefore." In other words, because of what I said beforehand, because of what I've already said. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And God's word, the Bible, is truth unchanged and unchanging. And again, we can look through the Bible and study historical characters and see many, many amazing things. But we don't want to miss this. We don't want to miss this, that God's truth is foundational for progress. And that is the title this morning. Truth, foundational for progress. And we see it here where the apostle encourages the Ephesians to have their, he says there, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. I want to look at some thoughts with you, and I trust they'll help you and they will encourage you. The world is falling apart in some places, and that's not meant to sound overly pessimistic and really morbid, but look around you. And when it comes down to the individual, there's plenty that can make you fall apart. Trials come. They're difficult, but sin is ever there. I want you to notice here, first of all, the importance of regular scripture. The importance of regular scripture or regular truth. And this is foundational to hold everything in our lives in their proper place. If you allow the truth of God, his word, to become a reality in our life, then so much better for us, and things will so much more be in their proper place. Where we read in the word sometimes about keeping your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep is a word that often is the same word that means garrison, that was used to describe the guarding of a city or a town by a garrison, and they would garrison the city about and keep it safe. And that is what the reference is to several times when the Apostle Paul is writing. It's the same thing. It keeps them, it keeps you safe. It keeps your thinking together. Peter, in 1 Peter, warned, I'll just read it for you here, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 9, you probably know a little bit about the context here where he's encouraged believers to cast all their care upon the Lord, for he cares for us, and to be sober and to be vigilant, and to, because the devil goes about seeking whom he may devour. But in verse 9 he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. The word faith there literally means in the truth. You resist the devil steadfast in the truth of God, that is his word. And in the following verse, he goes on to say at the end of verse 10, to make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And when we're established and strengthened and settled, then everything is being held together. I'm sure you've looked around you and things have made you really, really discouraged. Maybe someone has said something, or someone you relied on to encourage you doesn't encourage you anymore. And we're constantly in life, we're brought to that point where we feel there's no other way to look but to the Lord and to look to him. And that's what the apostle here is saying when he's saying about having your loins girt about with truth. Being girded with truth, being held together. And that is what the apostle Peter here was talking about as well when he talked about being steadfast in the truth. The world might not come to your gospel mission if you invite them, but they expect steadfastness from you and me. They expect that. And they expect an awful lot from believers. And we may say, well, that's not fair and it's a struggle and all. We know all of that, but they still expect it. And the Lord knows. That's why he's provided for us the truth. He's provided for us. And it all implies established there and strengthened and settle you. It all implies standing against that which is wrong, because it's in the context of the devil going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When Paul was writing to the church in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 15. He says there in verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful." Then he says in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and teaching, and admonishing one another in spiritual psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." You'll see there where he talks to them in that verse about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What he really is saying, even though he's using different words, is be girded by the truth. Be guarded and girded and kept together by the truth. The psalmist over in the Psalm 119 and verse 11 said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Lord Jesus, when he was praying in John chapter 17, prayed, "Lord, sanctify them through thy truth." And while, in a sense, that means as men listen to the gospel and sanctify them, being taken them out of their sin and set them apart as God's people, it also certainly carries the meaning of you and I who know the Lord. If we want to grow in grace and to be strong in the Lord, and we want to progress, remember the title, Truth Foundational for Progress. We can have absolutely everything else and do a multiplicity of things, but if we have not truth, then it'll not be any good. We need truth. It is foundational for progress. You see, the man here, that the soldier that the apostle was referring to, and people believe that when he actually put this down, he may have been looking at a Roman soldier. He was certainly very familiar with everything that they wore. He wanted Christians to be ready for battle. That does not mean to be aggressive with people just for the sake of getting a row going. Any fool can do that. And it does not mean going out looking for trouble. But remember that whole passage in chapter 6 of Ephesians is about standing. Stand therefore. And having done all to stand. Constantly he's about standing. Remember when Paul himself was on the ship to Rome and the big storm came. Paul hadn't forgotten that he had received assurance from the Lord that he would preach at Rome also. Now it looked as if he was going to go down with the ship. And everything looked so bleak. But he said to the brethren that were on the ship and to those who were the ones who were keeping him there as a prisoner, he said to them, he said, "I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And how did he do that? How did he not fall apart? How did he not seek to get away out and to find something to try to get a position where he could look after himself and survive? Because his mind was girded about with truth. He took what God said and he remembered it. And now in this circumstance of the boat going down, he remembered it. He thought, "I can't drown. I have to go to Rome. The Lord has told me, thou shalt preach at Rome also." So what he had really done, he had committed himself to what God had said to him. Didn't we sing earlier there, leaning on the word of God? And that's what you and I want to do, folks, more and more. And it's such a privilege for us as a people to be able to get the word out to children in Sunday school and in the midweek meeting, and also to youth to try to help them in the Bible class, and to fill our minds, not just them, but us as well, with the promises of God. Now, we never say to people, just read anything and say, you know, that I'll take that as a promise. Sometimes God really impresses upon your heart if you're regularly reading the word. Even a systematic, daily, ordinary reading of the word impresses on your part a promise to you or to me, and that is grand. But fill our mind with those promises, with God's providences, how he worked, and we've looked at that at different times, how he turned things right around. Remember Esther and the situation with Haman. Who would have guessed things turned out the way they did? The Lord in his providence, where the Lord had Joseph, we mentioned him the other day. Joseph, probably as a young man, thought, "Well, what is happening here?" Sometimes we feel like that. And then he understood in the end, when he looked around and he was able to feed his brothers and his father and look after them all, and he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And it wasn't you that sent me, it was God." Didn't feel like God at the time. But he was looking for God's and filling his mind with the providences of God, and that would help him on ahead. It will help us on ahead as well. Look for God's providence. Fill our minds with his providences. Fill our mind with what the Bible says about his love, about justification. And the devil comes along to fire his fiery darts at you, that you're justified, that you've been adopted into his family. What about sanctification? To strive under God, knowing God's help for to be better, to know more of his grace, to grow in grace more and more, to try to forgive others the way he's forgiven us. That's a hard one sometimes. Daily cleansing, the importance of it, the absolute vital importance of fellowship. I can't say that there's any time from I've been here we've had bad harvests. They've all been good, but we tend to feel that last weekend was right up there. Now, we could have had a few more at the front and the place been completely bunged out, but the spirit in the meeting was just, we couldn't ask for more than what we had. The importance of fellowship. What about evangelism? That which we continually seek to do. I'm not one for going around the same doors every 2 months and getting people's backs up, but we do go out at intervals, and that's what's going to be happening with the mission. And going out there involved in evangelism. And folks, we need the Bible. We need the truth here in our hearts, the importance of regular scripture, whether it's reading. And the more people I'm talking to, the more I'm convinced that the harm that COVID did, we don't really realize just how much that so many people lost out, stopped reading the word. Maybe looked to see what the sermon title was, didn't listen to the sermon. And then so many people have even confessed that during COVID, they really lost out with the Lord because the word they did not have, and it was their responsibility to go and look at it. They didn't have any regular word because they didn't listen. And they stopped reading. And then they lost out. The importance of regular scripture. And thank you for attending when you can. And thank you for sending young ones along to listen to the word as well. But this truth is foundational if there is to be progress. But I want to mention secondly here, daily battles and focus on Christ. We're still thinking of truth being foundational. In the epistle to Romans, in the first 11 chapters, the apostle there, well, some of you will be aware, if you look at those first 11 chapters, he unfolds a lot of truths about redemption and what God has provided for those who come and trust him. But he does that before he comes to a point where he says, well, I'll read it, it's Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Before he comes to that, he talks all about redemption. In other words, he wants people to focus on Christ. He wanted the church of Rome to fill their minds with Christ for the battle. Because in Romans chapter 12 there, where he talks about present your bodies before as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, he's talking about, well, he's talking about battle. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that ye present. It means hand over your bodies. That's what we do as Christians. That's what we do when we really feel the Lord's calling us to be a minister. That's what Glenn Hamilton and David McCauley are doing right now, and their wives doing that as well. Because if their wives don't do it the same as them, then it'd be better sitting in the house. But yield there means, or sorry, present means to yield or to hand over. A living sacrifice, what does it mean? We're still alive. Living slain, it means dead to self, and that's a hard one. Because we want to please ourselves, don't we? But it means dead to self. And I tell you, if you're going outside Northern Ireland to serve the Lord, and in Northern Ireland, but particularly going out, you need to be dead to self. If you're not, you'll become discouraged very quickly indeed. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then he says there, and be not conformed to this world. And we mentioned that word before. It means to shape, to be like another. And he goes on there then in the chapters after that to show them the things that they have to deal with. Deal with. So folks, when you think of truth, you think of daily battles. And in those daily battles, again, we need to have a firm grasp of what the Lord has done for us and keep our eyes on him. Daily battles and focusing on Christ to present your bodies. You will need to be girded. You will need to be held together because the discouragement can help you to fall apart. Remember one time in the Whitfield College, again, and I know I've quoted him often, but I don't apologize for that, the Reverend Ron Johnson, he said to us, he said, you know, he'd been in the mission field and he'd been around a while and knew a few things and he knows a lot of things, but he said to us, he says, if you look inwardly, you'll become depressed. He says, if you look at other people around you, you'll become distressed. He says, but if you look up to Christ, you'll be blessed. If you look up to Christ, you'll be blessed. And there in Hebrews chapter 12, he's encouraging believers in Hebrews chapter 12 to look to him. He says, wherefore, this is verse 1 of Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, if I can just, I may have mentioned this before, but many commentators believe that where it says laying aside the weight is referring to how runners trained in those days. They trained with weights strapped to their legs so that it slowed them down and made them try harder to be faster. And then when it come to the actual race, they took the weights off and they were able to go faster. And the many commentators believe that's what he was referring to. To take it and lay it aside. And he says here, let us lay aside these weights and the sin. Or which is sin? Which can so easily beset us. How many really lives with a lot of potential, a lot of opportunity, are marred by sin? Marred by sin. But he is the answer here in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then he brings us to the cross. And then it says in verse 3, to consider him, which is a term which refers to comparing things in their due proportion. In other words, remember what he's done for us. You're being tempted here with sin, and is the Lord not worth you striving for victory? Lay aside those weights of sin and keep looking unto him when you consider all that he has accomplished for us. And let's face it, folks, we all have these daily battles. The young people have these daily battles, maybe in a way that we never had. These days, there's so many pitfalls. And not only is so many things accessible, but the big problem too is that so many of these things are acceptable to society in general, but they're not to you because they're not to God. They're not acceptable. And let's pray for our young people that in the daily battles, they will focus upon him. That as I said in Romans, if you read Romans first 11 chapters, it's all about redemption. What he's done for us. And then, now let's give ourselves to him. Let's give ourselves over to him. There's another thing here, and the thought when I'm thinking about truth that's been foundational, it is the need of a teachable spirit. I could stand and talk all day, and people could listen, and it mightn't make any difference. You see, or I could read the word and come away and say, well, that was an interesting story, but it's the word changing our hearts. And if we have a teachable spirit, we want to be shaped and want to be directed by the Lord. And whenever you read in Genesis, I'll not turn to it, about in 17, about God, the God of God's dealing with Abraham. And it says there, the Lord said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. It literally means be thou straight. Walk before me and be thou straight. In other words, plough a straight furrow, we use the expression sometimes, for me. And in order for that to happen, Abraham would need to have his loins girt about with truth. And he needed to have a teachable spirit. And only you as an individual man, and me as an individual man, or you as individual ladies can do that. Can say, I'm going to have a teachable spirit. I'm going to listen to what God says to me when I'm reading the word or I'm listening to preaching. And I'm going to apply it to my heart so that I plough a straight furrow for the Lord. David was a very good man most of his life. He was also a very crafty man. And when he should have been, his place was to be in the forefront of the battle. He didn't have time to do that, but he had time to chase another man's wife. And he was running after Uriah's wife. You know about the story of Bathsheba. Affected his whole family, affected his friends, affected his army, affected everything, affected the future and all of that. And what did he pray in his Psalm 51 when he repented? He talked about truth in the inward parts. Truth in the inward parts. And anything can lurk in any of us. Anything that would not be good for us or good for others. That is what James was referring to when he talked about a double-minded man being unstable in all his way. It actually refers to a double-life man being unstable in all his ways. If I can just read again what it says over there in the Psalm 119 quickly. Psalm 119, and this time it is verse 11, where it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." He hasn't just heard it. He's taken and he hid it. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And that is so important, folks, that we have a teachable spirit. I think I was saying the other day to the folk down in Mount Marion about someone who told me, and they were regularly in contact with the truth, but they actually told me and said, "It doesn't affect me in any way. I know exactly what it means. It doesn't affect me in any way." It's so sad. Folks, that shouldn't be said of us. Paul didn't want that to be said of the Ephesians because he wanted them to be girt about with truth. And I've one final thing to mention here, and that is temptation to question God's word. To question God's word. And if we only look at it every now and again, and we don't take on board what God says to his word, and we're not really interested in preaching, listening to preaching, then we can fall into the trap where the devil can come along and say, "Yea, hath God said." Remember that? Hath God said. Planting a doubt in our mind regarding the word of God. And whenever that happens, we start to fall apart. We fall apart. Our enthusiasm goes. And whenever enthusiasm goes, dearly held convictions about what was right, they start to go too. And we become more liberal. And everything starts to fall apart. And folks, remember what we're looking at this morning is in the context of the attack of the devil. He hasn't fallen asleep. And he's out to seek to destroy you and to destroy me. There was a preacher who one time said, "Let the truth of God's word grip you afresh until it grips the secret, that secret compartment, and squeezes out apathy." Squeezes out apathy. And how we need the Lord to do that. An awful thing if you become apathetic to God's word. I trust that today we'll have our loins girt about with truth. We're thankful for the truth. I trust we'll all value the truth, that we will love the truth, we will learn the truth, and we will share the truth. And we'll have our loins girt about with truth. I trust the Lord will use these few thoughts to encourage each of you today as regarding the importance of God's word being foundational for progress.